Jay McFarland and Amy Iverson are The Browsers. The latest breaking news.
This just into the KSL 24-hour news center.
Real insights into technology and modern life.
That was an actual release.
I know.
To iOS 8, and it bricked everybody's phones, including ours.
Yes.
The Browsers on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thanks for tuning into KSL and The Browsers today. Amy and Jay here with you. And we just got the news just within the last hour that the U.S. Supreme Court will decide on the issue of whether same-sex couples have the constitutional right to marry or whether states could still ban gay marriage. And this is something that we've been leading up to for a while as we've watched state by state make decisions on this. And the court had four petitions from four states in front of it: Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Michigan, all in the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which recently went against that the national trend that we've seen and upheld gay marriage bans. So what exactly does all of this mean? We're checking in with Professor of Law at BYU, Lynn Wardle. Thank you so much for joining us today. What exactly happened today? What does this mean for us for the future?
Well, what it means is that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear oral argument on in cases involving appeals from lower court rulings in all of these states, these four states that are all in the sixth U.S. Court of Appeals. They all are within that region of the appeals region, and the Supreme Court is going to address the issue. Of course, its answer will be binding not just on those four states, but on all the states, because the court has agreed in its order that I'm looking at right now, the court has agreed to hear two questions. The first question is, does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? And of course, if the answer to that is yes, or if the answer is no for those four states, it would also be the same for the other 46 states, because it's the same 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment means the same thing in all the states. So the first question the court has agreed to answer is, does the 14th Amendment require a state to license same-sex marriage, allow same-sex couples to marry? And the second question is a conflict of laws question. I'll read the court's question. Number two, does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognize a marriage between two people of the same sex when their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed out of state? So that would be, for example, two persons of the same sex, two Utahns of the same sex, who cannot get married in Utah, go to California where they can marry and enter into a lawful marriage there and then come back to Utah. Does Utah have to recognize it? And those are two very those are the two contexts that deal with the nationalization of same-sex marriage or the federalization, leaving each state to decide for itself the issue of same-sex marriage. Either directly, does the state have to give out marriage licenses and allow same-sex marriages to be performed in their own state? And second, if couples cross the border, go into another state where gay marriage is allowed, does the state have to recognize it?
So really, they could answer no on the first one, that a state does not have to license marriage between same-sex couples, but maybe answer yes to the second question about recognizing those performed in other states.
You're right. The interesting thing is the second question is phrased very narrowly. Does the 14th Amendment require? If I were the lawyer for the gay couples, I would hope that the court would have asked also, does the 14th Amendment or the full faith and credit clause of Article 4 of the Constitution require a state to recognize gay marriage done in a sister state? The fact that they've limited the question on interstate recognition of gay marriage to to a 14th Amendment question suggests the answer to the other question, the full faith and credit question, is the answer that everybody who's familiar with the history of the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution has said is the real answer. No, full faith and credit has never required one state to recognize marriages performed in another state. As a matter of custom, as a matter of policy, as a matter of history, states traditionally have recognized almost all marriages, but not all. There's a strong history of State A refusing to recognize the marriage of a young couple who cannot get married in State A and who go across the state line into State B where they're old enough to get married, and they get licensed and get married there and then come back to State A. Does State A have to recognize it? A lot of cases have said, no, they don't have to.
Well, and the Constitution also allows for Congress to establish the terms of full faith and credit. So they could, in essence, go in and dictate that if they wanted to, and they have in the past.
That's right. They could, and they have not done very much. Congress's authority to define the effects and terms of full faith and credit, which is spelled out very clearly mm-hmm. in Article 4, has rarely been exercised. Congress has not passed a lot of full faith and credit laws or interstate recognition laws, and in this area, there is very little federal law about when one state must recognize a marriage from another state, deeming that to be a kind of policy issue that the Constitution thinks is best decided by at the local level by the states, in themselves.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor of Law at BYU, Lynn Wardle. We also have on the line with us the Director of Equality Utah, Troy Williams. Troy, talk to us about what this decision from the Supreme Court means to your community.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on. We were elated in October when the freedom to marry came to Utah. We celebrated it. But we were also a bit disappointed because we really wanted the Amendment 3 case to go all the way to the Supreme Court so that this issue could be decided once and for all. I mean, we believe that marriage is a fundamental freedom that should not be denied to anyone in any state.
Is it your feeling that the Supreme Court was just hopeful that all of the appeals courts would rule in one way and then they wouldn't have to wade into the issue?
Well, that certainly is the momentum, right? We, mm-hmm. we saw marriage bans fall like dominoes, beginning in Utah and then across the country, just swept across the country, ban after ban, until we got to the Sixth Circuit. And so, again, we've seen a bipartisan momentum, Republicans coming out for this, people of faith coming out for this. America is ready for the freedom to marry in all 50 states. So,
we're confident
in the decision this June.
Well, and the decision is important because where it stands right now, a couple could get married here and then move to one of those states and have it not be recognized. So I'm sure that's why you're looking for a final decision once and for all.
That's absolutely correct. And America is always kind of a work in progress. You know, we became a more perfect union when we abolished slavery, when we gave the freedom for women to vote, when we abolished Jim Crow laws. I think today, or in June, when the court decides in our favor and loving, committed same-sex couples in all 50 states have the freedom to marry, America will once again become a more perfect union.
So it sounds like you have no doubt, no question in your mind as to how the court will rule.
Absolutely. America is ready for this, and it's time for all of us to get on the right side of history. This decision will strengthen families of all kinds. Like here in Salt Lake City, we know because of the Williams Institute report that we have in Salt Lake City more same-sex couples raising children than any other city in the nation. And of course, all of us who grew up in Utah were taught family values, and we have incorporated those family values. It's part of who we are. And so I'm so grateful that I grew up a Mormon boy in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was taught the importance of family, the importance of making commitments to each other, and those values are still part of who I am today, and it's a part of who so many of us, these values are held by so many of us in the LGBT community in Utah.
Thank you so much. Troy Williams, Director of Equality Utah, on the line with
us
here at KSL.
And we'll check back with him in June, for sure. And see, I'm not sure there's as much clarity as he thinks. I'm pretty sure the Supreme Court will rule in favor of gay marriage, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, yes, he's pretty sure.
Pretty confident.
When we come back, we'll also dive into kind of what role Utah will play, if any, in all of this. And this is because of today's decision from the Supreme Court agreeing to take on this issue of same-sex marriage. It looks like arguments will be April and then a decision sometime in June.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us today on The Browsers. We want to share with you once again the breaking news heard earlier here on KSL News Radio that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to hear. They've accepted four petitions in the same-sex marriage debate. They will hear oral arguments in April. They are expected to deliver a ruling by June. This became obvious that it would need to happen the minute the Sixth Circuit Court ruled in favor of the states who had banned gay marriage, which went against every other appeals court that had ruled against it. The Supreme Court looking to, everybody thinks, to just not get involved. No reason to get involved as long as the appeals courts all lined up and agreed with each other. The minute that that happened, it became very clear that they were going to have to finally jump in and answer that question. So we've been in the process of trying to dissect this a little bit, digest it, figure out what it means for the state of Utah, if anything, and whether or not officials in the state of Utah will be involved in this process. To answer that question, we want to bring in Michelle Mumford. She's a former clerk of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Michelle, what will happen? Will anybody here in Utah be involved either in filing briefs or supporting the actions of these other states? Do we have Michelle? All right, we'll try and get Michelle on.
Something interesting about this, we know that arguments will be in April, and I think this says a lot right here that the court normally allots an hour for arguments. In this case, they have said they will extend that time from an hour to 2.5 hours.
Mm.
So they're expecting a lot of information coming out of these arguments. And we know that from the BYU professor we spoke with earlier, there are two questions. And the first is whether the Constitution requires states to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And then the other is whether states must recognize same-sex marriages performed elsewhere. So kind of two separate questions. They could say no to the first, yes to the second. It could be two different answers.
Yeah, although a lot of people expect they're going to answer them both in the same way. Is Michelle Mumford, are you with us, Michelle?
I'm here.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for joining us. We wanted to know from you what your thoughts or feelings are as far as whether or not officials here in the state of Utah or tax dollars from the state of Utah will be used in any capacity to get a message to the Supreme Court before they make this decision.
Right. Well, I obviously don't speak for the
right
officials, but I think it's likely that we will be involved with an amicus brief. I think those briefs are largely already written from our pleadings in the Tenth Circuit case. And so it won't require, a lot of, research or writing, because most of that is already done. But with our initial pleadings with the Tenth Circuit case and all the experience the state has had with the issue so far, I see a really opportunity for our state to be involved, at least to have a voice that way.
And an amicus brief, basically a friend of the court briefing, just, hey, this affects us too, so we have a voice and here's how we feel about it.
Right, exactly. And this is how it affects us, and this is,
yeah,
what we've seen and what our experiences have taught us on the subject. And like you said, because it does affect us, we feel that we should have a voice as well.
Michelle, is there anything to the point that they granted all four of those petitions? Could they not have just chosen one of those states and gone with it, that they chose all four?
Well, it's my understanding that the Sixth Circuit case dealt with all four.
Mm.
And so what the four cases come from Kentucky and Michigan and Ohio and Tennessee. And so the Sixth Circuit dealt and gave one opinion. And so the Supreme Court was granting whether, was deciding whether to review the Sixth Circuit decision. And so that's what it is, the court is responding to there.
Was
a 2-1 decision by Judge Sutton, and like Jay said earlier, it was the First Circuit to uphold, you know, 4 state bans on gay marriage.
Now, I haven't heard anything. I'm wondering if you have, as to whether or not the Supreme Court has said all of these cases are now on hold. There's a stay to the existing decisions. I don't think they've sent anything like that out. Is there a possibility that they will, in your opinion?
I'm pretty sure that granting cert stays the opinion from the Sixth Circuit.
So just in the Sixth Circuit, but nowhere else, because those cases are not in question at this moment.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, Tenth Circuit. I mean, our case is done.
Yeah.
You know, gay marriage is legal and is going forward. And this case specifically does not have any bearing on our cases that have already been decided. If it changes the legality of gay marriage, it will have an effect on Utah law in general, but not specifically in the cases that have already been decided.
Okay, thanks so much, Michelle. Michelle Mumford, former clerk of the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. It will be an interesting thing to watch, and 4 months is not that long away before we start hearing the Supreme Court starts hearing these arguments.
By we,
in this
we,
case.
Humanity.
We, us, and the Supreme Court.
All of us together. The only way this situation changes here in the state of Utah is if the Supreme Court rules against the appeals court in our jurisdiction and says, no, states do have the right to dictate this. The 14th Amendment does not apply in this circumstance. And then you have to deal with the issue of all of those people who, in the meantime, have been getting married. Or if they rule that Utah can allow it and that people in this other, in the Sixth Circuit, they can disallow it. And then the question is, what happens when they move between the different states?
Whew, this is going to be big.
I think we're going to have absolute clarity in about 4 months. I do believe the Supreme Court will rule in favor of gay marriage. And then at least the legal side of that debate will then be over. And then within each state, you're going to have a whole nother subset of situations come up that may reach this level, from adoption to benefits. I mean,
taxes,
all kinds of other things. Some of those settled by the word marriage, others not with such clarity. But the marriage issue itself, I think, will have resolution when the Supreme Court decides to rule.